what the outcome was.
The stenotype is assured the request will be fulfilled in the morning at the conference. There will be a complete write-up of the address in complete English and interpretation. The conference had its political background, maybe one more, and developed into several blocks. And it's well for our community to know that the one person who headed an independent block was Edgar J. Kaufman. This conference continued on for many years and was most useful in speaking on international matters to the proper people throughout the world in behalf of our Jewish people. At the close of this conference, Dr. Prioff of Pittsburgh paid tribute to the leaders as one of the most outstanding historical events in the life of our people.
Okay.
I wrote that down. I have, Betty and Marcia, I have never considered myself a prophet, nor do I have at my demand or command a crystal that I can gaze into. But I am certain that during this interview you have gathered one word I've used often. And I use that word often because I feel it explains my deep feeling about the many things and the many organizations and the many opportunities that I have been able to participate in, and that is the word privilege. And it has been a privilege, first of all, to meet with you two lovely ladies and to have you listen to a man's life, whether it's a man or not, I don't know, but a man's life, and you've been most gracious. And each of these privileges has, from where I sit, made it possible for me as a member of the community to enjoy first a happy family life, a dedicated religious life for having participated in my same congregation for well over 50 years. This would be some attest to a religious life, an educational life in having been part and parcel of and privileged to see the beginning of and the continuation of an all-day Hebrew school movement. And now we can proudly say that this community can be justly proud of four all-day schools. The enrollment at our Hebrew Institute continues to keep a good level, even though enrollment is down throughout the country. The enrollment in the School of Advanced Jewish Study, which has been a very wonderful experience for this community, and I hope will continue for many, many years under the guidance of Dr. Aaron Kessler, for this has taken our children beyond their normal elementary education and bus and bar mitzvah into high school education. On the educational level, it's always good to be able to observe that some of the students, if not most of the students who graduate from the all-day schools, because of the good foundation they get, makes it possible for them to get very good acceptance at the colleges they apply to. In the community itself, I'm pleased that we have what I consider, and I've learned this through my travels, one of the most outstanding United Jewish Federations, and that our federation originally was the United Jewish Fund and the Jewish Federation, which merged together into one, the United Jewish Federation. It's not only an excellent arm for the fundraising that we are able to accomplish and the response we get from the people in the community in this area, but it makes it possible for us to have the dollars we need for many, many of the programs that we could not have in this community without this kind of an organization. I feel the Montefiore Hospital served this community well. Well, we have been members of the Pittsburgh community. I believe history record close to 200 years, which is the time Pittsburgh was founded. And we have always felt this used through the years that we have been possibly guests of the community, in that we use their facilities that were supported by non-Jews, speaking of the hospital program. And I'm very happy that we have created our own Jewish hospital, which is supported in the greatest amounts and the greatest services by the Jewish members of the community. On the college level, it's wonderful that this community has the University of Pittsburgh, the Duquesne University, Chatham College, but it's also wonderful that Pittsburgh, through its Allegheny County arrangement, has been able to institute and form the Allegheny County Community College about 8 years ago, which is a real plus for those who cannot afford dollar-wise to go on to higher education and those who are possibly dropouts in the senior year of the high school.
And you've been active, Herman, too, haven't you?
I have, thank the Lord.
With the community college.
I have been part and parcel. I don't make that mention because I'm active, but I've been able to observe the growth of a new educational institution from zero enrollment to over 25,000 students served on three campuses in the beautiful structures. But the students who are attending are being trained for vocations rather than necessarily honorary degrees. Hold it a moment. You've spent much more time with me than I anticipated, although I have plenty of time available, but I appreciate you have other commitments as well as I have, and I wish we could go on and on. What service this will render the community, only time will tell. I think that Pittsburgh, I only think, but I feel deeply that Pittsburgh is the finest community that I've ever lived in, for I've lived here all my life. And that doesn't make it a finer community, but it's a very fine community to live in. And I just hope that the programs and the services and the participation we've had from a total Jewish community will continue on for many, many years, long after I am gone. For this community has proven itself as the number one community in the world, in that we've been part and parcel of everything we've done. Any commercials, please?
No commercials, Herman. But it was our pleasure for Betty and myself to be here today in your beautiful office at the Iron City Uniform
and Tile
Service on Frankstown Avenue. And indeed, may God grant you many years to go ahead and to continue your work and to give to your family and to the community all that you've given in the past. That's right.
At briefly, which time I was then Federation President, United Jewish Federation President of Pittsburgh, and I recognized the fact that if I wanted to fulfill my responsibilities to our own community, which gave me my beginning and I'll be thankful for many years, that I ought to finish my presidency in the Federation. I then went to the Executive Director, Bob Hill, and explained to him my predicament. He said to me, Herman, we will be honored if you were elected. If you will be elected, we shall accept your resignation, and I'm sure you'll still give us your devoted interest. Go ahead and campaign. So I conducted a campaign, limited, in behalf of my presidency, and in that year was the first year that any of the international organization held its first convention in Israel, and B'nai B'rith was the first.
Huh.
It's the first international organization to hold it. Well, I'm going to make sure of the year, but I'll check it out for you later. I'm almost certain it's right. I went to the convention. Thank goodness to the wisdom of the delegates, I was not elected. I came back home very happy to continue my activities and add more activities to what I had here locally instead. Now, Brandeis.
Okay.
We didn't go to Israel Bonds. Yeah, remember the formation
there.
Of Israel
That's
Bonds.
That's the only thing
completely.
You told us in your living room.
Okay. Now I'm going to go one step forward. I remember when Goldie Mayer came here for the first meeting.
Oh, you got to tell us that.
Okay.
Tell us about Brandeis.
All right, now Brandeis. When Dr. Abraham Sacker, who was the former executive director of the B'nai B'rith Hillel Foundations, became the president of Brandeis University. And being the intellect he is, and the most outstanding fundraiser that I have ever met, he recognized the fact that the only way the university could become and continue as a university was to get the proper funds. He then called upon his friends he had made through the years, asking each of them to see what they could do in their own community with reference to fundraising. We arranged for him to come to Pittsburgh for a Brandeis meeting, which was our first Brandeis meeting.
What year was this,
Herman? Well, Brandeis, if I remember correctly, was founded in 49, a year after the state.
Right.
So they have to be in the 50s or 51s.
Uh-huh.
He came to Pittsburgh. We had our first... I got to back up. He came to Pittsburgh first at the old Hotel Schenley, together with the former president of the railroad lines, Alpert, that's right, Alpert, not the one who writes. And the meeting was held in the smaller room, not the large ballroom, at the Hotel Schenley, and Dr. Freehoff chaired the meeting. And believe it or not, it was not a fundraising meeting. It was an informative meeting at which the community turned out and listened to the story of Brandeis. Then pick up what I left off if we started earlier.
Okay.
He then called upon some of us, and he called upon me to see what I could do. We organized the committee, and ever since then, we've been conducting a Brandeis campaign in this community. Later, the Women's Committee came into being because there was a need for a large library, because no university could survive without a large library. And he organized a very active women's committee. And I had the privilege with Becca visiting the university the first time he got there. He was up there in a small little house off to the side, got a real view of the university. And some years later, I really felt honored when they realized it did not have alumni because university was need, and they came up with an instrument in which they would select fellows in the community. I remember quite well when we went to Boston, when I was knighted or hooded a fellow by Dr. Sacker in the presence of a large assembly. And I've been active there ever since, participating in every campaign. In fact, as late as this morning, we got a call about a local problem. That's Brandeis. Now, Woody, what else did you want? Hold on one more. Well, it's yours, would it be? Sam Levinson is gone. Sam Warnock is gone. And Dr. J. Rosenberg are all gone.
Were those the beginning?
They were the beginning. Sam Levinson was the beginning. Would it be in the 30s? No, it couldn't be. The state came into being in 48. I would say, let's say the late 40s.
Okay.
For safe. As far as my memory serves me. You know?
Mm-hmm.
In the late 1940s, Sam Levinson, the founder of Levinson Steel Company, called together a group of Pittsburgh people. Included in which that group I remember quite well was Samuel Horlick of Pennsylvania Transformer and Dr. J. E. Rosenberg of Plast Steel Corporation to organize a local Technion committee, Friends of Technion, in order to support the university in every fashion possible and particularly in fundraising. And through these years, we've had annual or every couple of years, we've had a campaign for Technion. Many of us have visited Technion. And our local Jewish Chronicle carries almost a weekly column, which is written by the public relations director, who is now vice president of Technion, Carl Alford, which is read by the community and very, very interesting. You know, we forgot something else that's very interesting.
The Criterion.
We're just going to come to that.
That's
also
me
during the... one of my years presidency of the Federation would be 49 to 52, I guess.
Yeah.
About that. During the years of the presidency of the Federation, we recognized the fact that the Jewish Home and Hospital for Aged was about to conduct another campaign for additional building space. And even though the Jewish Home and Hospital for Aged was a community chest agency and not a United Jewish Federation agency, so we sat down together and thought it was about time that a study be made of the needs and the demands of the community for the care of the aged in a home or similar facilities. About that time, Bob Heller and I went to a Council of Federations and Welfare Funds meeting in San Francisco. And one of the panels was on the aged, and the doctor from some other community who had conducted the panel, we went to him afterwards and told him about our situation. And he suggested that we had in Pittsburgh, at the University of Pittsburgh, a man who was very learned in this field, and if we could co-op his services, and I have to get his name for it, it'll come to me, who would do a study for us, because who wanted to spend big money on this whole situation. We enlisted his services. He was very receptive. He enlisted some of his people at the university who were studying the aged field, the geriatrics. And they made a careful study, number one, the home for aged, as to what the population was and whether or not there was in that population some of those who could be out in the community instead of living in the home. Out of which came the recommendation after the careful study that there were three areas that we could operate in. An aged person who first became ill would be admitted to the Montefiore Hospital. And then after they had taken, or rather, well, they spent the time at the hospital that they needed for medical care, if they needed a couple of weeks they could then be housed in the Bicker Chaim, which was on Negley Avenue, about an 16 to 18 bed facility. And beyond that point, they could return to their normal home, or they could then possibly go into a new facility we were considering, which was an apartment building, where those aged people who could live alone, could take care of themselves well enough, could live in what we then formed and organized the Riverview Apartments, which was put to come into being by an agreement, by an understanding, don't say agreement, by an understanding between the Jewish Home and Hospital Board and the Federation Board. And out of that came the first Riverview, Riverview number one. Federal funds were available for this kind of facility, and the limited income of some people made it possible for them to live a good normal life. But this is one of the few such apartment buildings in the country that has the community dinner, where every resident or every person living there goes down to dinner instead of preparing their dinner meal in their own little apartment. In that, we learned that aged people would not sometimes prepare a hot meal, and therefore built into our arrangement was the one community dinner. And we point with pride the fact that if they want to invite their children to the home, to the Riverview, they have that opportunity at a very limited price to have dinner with them. And it's been a wonderful setup, to the point that we got up to a waiting list of over 250 people when we had to build our second facility. Diary them out.
I just want to know.
There are about 250 residents at the Riverview Apartments presently, in Riverview 1 and 2, with a waiting list of approximately 200. And the strict rule for admission to the Riverview Apartments is on the date of application. And any person who wants to apply must put their name in and gets into the hopper. That's the way it's been handled to this point. At the home, it's different. The home, it's depends upon need. That's what they have to do. The home, by the way, has a waiting list now, unfortunately.
They do?
About 25, 30 people. Mm. We got some sad cases.
We're going to have to put them into John Kane. What are we going to do?
No, we won't put them
into
John.
What are we going to do?
Just
be
patient.
If you have to be thrown out of
just be patient. They don't have to be thrown out of
Mon.
If you're a Bicker Chaim, that's another story I want to dwell on.
Well, that's not doing well.
I know, but all right, we're going to try and bring Bicker Chaim into the home. Don't quote me on that. All right, let's get on the card again.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. What year was that? If you want years, I'm in trouble.
God.
Okay. Our community, for many years, had two weekly Anglo-Jewish periodicals: Jewish Criterion and the Jewish Outlook. The Criterion was owned and operated for many years by the Alter family, and the Outlook, Jewish Outlook, was organized and conducted many years by Albert Gollum, who was a former employee of the Criterion. And time after time, we recognized the need of a community, not a federation. I repeat again, a community, not a federation organ. And we thought it would be best if we could possibly, for many reasons, consolidate the two papers into one, not to ever be controlled or operated by a federation, but to be a total community paper. For we had heard many times from some of the subscribers to the advertising that they were badgered into subscriptions, which was certainly unfair. And rather than two papers competing for news weekly, it'd be best to have one, because the old story, who's on the front page, who's on the second page. We then explored the idea with the families. Neither one were receptive. But after much work behind the scenes, we were able to prevail upon them to enter into an agreement to sell their paper to the community. In order to make this possible, we organized a separate corporation, Jewish Publication Society, I believe it is called, a separate corporate entity. We did that because there had to be someone who would guarantee the payments to the two families. And being a new structure, we didn't have any such guarantee, nor did anyone want to personally guarantee this, because of sums which I'm not going to mention, but I'm sure if you want to find out, you can. We then were able to have the Federation guarantee the payment. That's the only part the Federation has paid in this. And the contracts were set up payable over a period of years, knowing that. And by our visit to other communities where they had a single community paper,
that the paper itself might be able someday to generate sufficient cash to pay off the commitment, and then, at that point, make it possible to give funds for special projects in the community. And the paper has operated ever since then as a community paper, even though many people think it's a federation paper. Off the record.
Yep.
1951, or thereabouts, the first bond, Israel, State of Israel bond meeting was held at the Hotel Schenley.
Mm-hmm.
Speaker that evening was Goldie Mayer.
Oh my God.
And the national person who came with it was, hold on a minute, cut over here. Those of us who were active at that time, I happened to chair that evening too. And Goldie came and she took ill in the afternoon at the hotel. We had each made our mind up as to what we would pledge. That's not a gift, that was a pledge. So this new project of State of Israel bonds, and by the time 15 or 20 of us got up into her bedroom before dinner started, we had changed the amount to almost treble what we agreed to do. It was a thrilling evening to really pitch around the whole room. Almost every person who was in that ballroom at the Hotel Schenley made a pledge to make a payment, to make it, to purchase Israel bonds.
Electrified.
Since then, we've had our organization, but off the record on this, pull it off.